That's right, and I have a very special guest that is on a whirlwind tour of South Carolina, Senator Tim Scott. How you doing today?
Hello, Ann. It's so good to be back on the air with you on the I Love Ann show because I love Ann.
Well, thank you very much. Sure was great to be able to see you up there at the Republican convention.
Yes, ma'am. If you compare it to the Democrat convention, you know why Donald Trump is in a good position, and I think the polls will continue to move in his way as we start focusing more on the issues and more on the American people. Our convention was a good time and a time for us to focus on what will make America move forward.
Well, I hear your optimistic spirit. I don't think it's being shared amongst all out there, though, Tim.
No doubt. There's no doubt that over the last several days, we have had a bumpy ride on the wild side of the Trump campaign without question. Good news is that the American people find Hillary Clinton's campaign and the thought of her being president quite distasteful. So the more we focus on the issues, the more likely we are to be successful on November the 8th. Our country is desperately looking for an alternative. This is a binary choice. You're either for Hillary Clinton or you are not. If you are not, there is only one choice, that is Donald Trump. I think we have to make sure that our nominee and all of us rally around the issues that help people working paycheck to paycheck and not focus on bitter personal attacks that seems to distract the voters and muddy the waters.
I couldn't agree with you more, Tim, about that. It just seems that that a lot of people have forgotten that there is only two choices, and it's either for or against Hillary. It's just one choice that you have.
The media wants us to focus simply on Donald Trump and his comments, and while some of them are distasteful, I do not deny that. The fact is that when you look at the DNC and Hillary Clinton, here's what we've seen in the last, just since the beginning of their convention. We've seen that they tried to make a Jewish man, Senator Bernie Sanders, into an atheist. They have made fun and demeaning comments about African-American females and their names. They have taken on the task of polluting the airwaves with hit attack after hit attack after hit attack. So while we seem to focus on the challenges of Donald Trump's hyperbolic language, we seem to have forgotten the email scandal at the DNC that exposed racism, that exposed challenges and baiting with Bernie Sanders, and the top three folks at the DNC have had to resign. Anyone who suggests that only Donald Trump has challenges with what he says and how he says it has missed the non-covered issue of Hillary Clinton and the DNC debacle.
Yeah, you are so right on that. And then with this latest thing with the $400 million taking it in the dark of night over there to Iran in other currencies, in cash, I mean...
Yes. When the Department of Justice stands up and says something's wrong, you know something's way wrong in the Obama administration hierarchy. And those folks are in lockstep so often it's just hard to imagine. The fact is that in the same month that we see our hostages released, Americans coming home, that we celebrate Americans coming home. Unfortunately, when it appears to be tied to a bribe, a payment, that only encourages, in my opinion, more taking of more Americans from around the world. If America starts being connected to paying a ransom, I should have said ransom, not bribe, paying a ransom, that just puts more people in jeopardy, not fewer people.
Exactly. And it's... I watched Josh Earnest yesterday trying to spin it. I don't see how you do spin that seriously, Tim.
You really can't spin that one, and there's no question about it. When you look at the timing, you look at the response from the Justice Department, my understanding is that they said no, they're not on board for this happening. It appears to me and to the vast majority of Americans that there was a bounty placed on the head that was paid, which only means more Americans could be in jeopardy, because if you pay ransoms, it only makes it more likely that you'll have more people to pay ransoms because of.
Sure. You know, I wanted to talk a little bit. You have had, over the last year and a half, I guess I would say, some great success with reaching out across the aisle and working with Democrats on some good issues out there. And I just wonder, how have you been able to do that, Tim, when it's been so cantankerous and the American public, truthfully, is very disappointed in what Congress and the Senate has accomplished?
And you're exactly right. We have a dismal record in the eyes of the vast majority. Typically, bad news is the only news that we hear out of Washington. I have been able to literally get my Democrat colleagues to agree to a change to Obamacare that was a positive change for the private sector, a positive change for small businesses. My legislation passed, the only legislation that I know of that had a specific impact on pushing back against Obamacare. And that simply kept the definition of a small business at 50 employees and did not allow it to expand as it was supposed to 100 employees. What that means to small employers is that they didn't see an increase on average of 18 to 25%, some as high as 72%. I received letters from across the country and across our state thanking me for the successful passage of that legislation, which was a bipartisan coalition of senators to revamp and push back on Obamacare's expansion, which was the only one of its kind that I recalled during the time that I got it passed. There have been other things that have been successful, but that was the one that started the train here at home. I made that success happen by focusing on what it does to employees. What does it do to people who have to pay the health insurance cost? Employers can only pick up a certain percentage. By focusing on the worker, I was able to attract enough Democrats to support the legislation that ended up passing with high majorities. But it was a fight. It was something that I had to do quietly and consistently, because at the end of the day, had the press gotten a hold that I was working on a coalition to reduce the impact of Obamacare in the private sector, we would have lost that battle. So we had to do it very quickly and very quietly so we could roll back Obamacare.
You know, and I think that's something that is so missing in Congress and in the Senate, is that moving quickly and quietly and negotiating and listening to each other.
If you want to get something accomplished, Ann, I have learned that that is the most effective way to do so. What I'm not willing to negotiate on is more spending, more taxing, and more borrowing. I am willing to negotiate with my friends on the other side about freeing people from the onerous burden of legislation that cripples our economy and regulations that destroys too much of our economy. And when I can find a successful path forward, I will work with anyone, anywhere, to restore faith in the private sector. That's the only place that jobs can be created. The government is where jobs can be destroyed. And so I saw this as an avenue to job creation and a reduction in regulation, and we were successful because I don't care who gets the credit. I didn't do this by myself. My staff worked on it, and many senators joined board and worked to make sure that we were able to have a successful surgical impact on Obamacare.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're to be commended, and, you know, I think, you know, when we look at you, Senator Tim Scott, as you like to say, from cotton to Congress, it really is a great story.
Well, and it's because of the people of South Carolina. My story is only possible because of the goodwill and the confidence that people in South Carolina have placed in me to be their servant. I work for you. I work for the people of South Carolina. I know that that's my role. I thank God for my role. And to the extent that I can continue to push and advance conservative solutions, I will do that with anyone in anywhere. But the fact of the matter is South Carolina, the home of second chances, gave me that second chance as a kid that almost flunked out of high school, now serving in the United States Senate. It is a blessing from God and the people of South Carolina.
You ever wake up and pinch yourself and go, how'd this happen?
I do, and I thank my God and my mama.
Yeah, for the whipping that she gave you, right, Tim?
Exactly. I always say that the switch is the southern apparatus of encouragement.
Well, I thought maybe we ought to take Donald Trump out behind the woodshed and give him a whooping.
Well, you know, Donald certainly needs to focus more on the issues than he does on personal attacks. The American people are hurting. In many ways, they're starving for real leadership that has been lacking for the last 8 years in the White House. We have a chance as conservatives to take back the White House and to restore confidence in the direction of our government and our country. We, the people, are responsible for this nation. We cannot allow for someone who believes that executive action, an imperial-type presidency, which I believe comes with Hillary Clinton, to do more harm than good to the American people. It is our opportunity to let our voices be heard by making sure we understand that there are only two choices in this election. You're either with Hillary or you're not. And if you're not, Donald Trump, pimples and all, challenges and all, is the only alternative. There's not another alternative. And that's how I see the choice. That's how I see this election. It is not the way I would like to see the election. I would love to have a choice between a superior candidate and one who represents the wrong direction. And Donald Trump can be a better candidate. He's going to have to focus on the issues and not on personal attacks.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, I know one of the things that we had two things we really wanted to talk about. One, about this article that was in Time magazine about having dinner with someone from another race on Sunday night. Where did that come from?
Well, my good friend James Lankford, who happens to be a white guy from Oklahoma and a U.S. senator, came to me with the idea of Solution Sundays. He asked me what worked in South Carolina, what works for me, and he shared with me what worked for him. And one of the ways that he believes, and I agree with him, that we can bring solutions to uniting this country, one nation under God, hence Sundays, Solution Sundays. I say it quickly and I say it plainly. Play and pray together. Pray together. Invite someone who's not your race, or as I like to say, I have a great tan, not everyone does. So the reality of it is, invite someone who doesn't look like you to go to church with you. And then after you get through with church, find something that calls you to do work together that makes your community better. So praying together means finding something that's bigger than yourself. I believe in the risen King who calls all men to work together under his umbrella, under the call of Christ. Second thing is play together. What I think about play is meals. I like to eat. Eating is fun. So if you can have a meal with someone who's not like you, you will learn more about someone else's culture and have more respect and appreciation without diluting your confidence in your own culture as well. So it's a win-win situation, win-win opportunity. I've done it for several years now. I do it almost every Sunday. My mother goes with me to dinner along with friends from different communities. And so it is a great chance to bring families together, and it has been successful.
And it's such a simple idea, Tim. It's not an expensive idea. It doesn't involve government involvement. It involves people in communities getting together, which is really where everything starts, right there in your own community.
You got it. And there's no question that the government cannot solve the problem of the heart. We, as an American family, can do so. And speaking of the American family, August 27th, 9 a.m., the TD Convention Center, all of us as a part of the South Carolina family can honor those who served during Desert Shield and Desert Storm, their families, and all guests who want to come out and support our men and women who are willing to lose their lives on behalf of this great country and the cause of freedom, can join me for a free ceremony honoring these veterans from the Desert Shield, Desert Storm era. The 25th anniversary of the end is this year, 9 a.m., TD Convention Center. You can call 844-872-7626 or email scott.senate.gov/veterans to register.
Absolutely. I've been to the Korean one, and you did one for Vietnam veterans. They really are terrific, Tim, and you're to be commended for doing those ceremonies and honoring here in our own state of South Carolina.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I love our veterans. Two of my brothers, both of my brothers, actually, I only have two, both served, one in the Army, Command Sergeant Major. The other is a colonel in the Air Force, retiring in a couple of years. My family has been blessed by my brothers who are willing to serve this country in different ways. But love of country is in my family. Love of country is a part of South Carolina. And thank you, Ann, for giving me an opportunity to advertise my August 27th event at the TD Convention Center so that we can say to our veterans, God bless you. We love you. We thank you. You are true American heroes.
Absolutely. And thanks so much for calling in. We'll look forward to talking to you again on the 75th anniversary of WCRS right here in Greenwood, South Carolina.
Look forward to it. You have a great day, and we all love the I Love Ann show.
Thank you so much, Tim. Have a great day on your travels today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.